SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's
so fun. Is it not delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow. Exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
New and improved, baby, on a Monday afternoon right here on the grid, 1-3. It's Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin. New week, new money, a lot to go over. 2 hours? Yeah, we got you locked in, K-Dub. And as you appreciated the new opening to the show.
I loved it. I loved it, man. Sometimes you hear something like that, and you just realize how much of a fan you are of someone. And I'm a DRS fan, man.
Yeah.
I'm a DRS fan.
Play the hits, man. Play the hits all the way through is the way you do it. The only thing I was upset about, love the intro, was that they didn't include your nickname anymore. Like, it was in and out now. We had a good three and a half week run on that.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is why we don't buy. Like, we can't give Donnie too much. Then he takes it always too far. DRS, we're excited to be here, though, man. Things are good.
Yes, we are.
Things are
yes.
good, right?
Things are very good. How about this? 1:10 p.m. start, 9:51, 9:52 on the rotation. Atlanta and the New York Mets, doubleheader today because they basically got washed out all weekend long. Striders on the mound is a monster favorite today. FanDuel Sportsbook posting him at a -200 favorite, a total that opened up at 8.5, now 7.5 with juice, 8s across the board. Keep in mind, nice little steady wind blowing out today up in Queens, City Field. And you said you had an idea of where you wanted to go in this one. Didn't care about Strider on the mound today, huh?
Yeah, well, it's not that I don't care. It's just, I don't, now, again, and here's the thing. My bet's already in, so it actually would be beneficial if you disagree to just tell the people how strongly you disagree. It's not a fade of Strider, but the New York Mets in their own building, with a team total of 3, is incredibly low. If you want to pay juice, you certainly can. And I saw -150 on a 2.5. I just went for the straight 3. The Mets in their own building. Strider, while he's been awesome this year, has had multiple games where he's given up 3 earned runs, and the team totals would have gone over 3. And the Mets had a lot of success against him last year. So I really think that this is a good spot, DRS, to try and, you know, buy a little low. He's on the road. I feel like there's value on the Mets here. Any agreement for you? I'm fine if you totally disagree. I'd rather you say as much.
Here's the hard part about it, though. Look, as I just said, like, wind's blowing out, and the lineup today is going to look good, right? Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, McNeil, Vogelbach, and so on. It's a solid lineup. But Strider's faced 115 batters this year. His strikeout percentage, 43%. That's like, hey, that's one hot game, right? Ooh, man, he was really good. Like, almost, you know, 50%. Half of the batters that come out are striking out. It's so hard to put, because you try to say, all right, 3, you got to get 4, whatever it would be, right? You got to put innings together. And it's like, okay, we're just worried about getting our bat on the ball. That's what makes it tough. And I'm not saying the Mets can't do that. They're at home. Get a couple fly balls. Mm-hmm. That adds up quickly. Walk and a home run. Boom, that's 2 right there. But he's been so dominant on the season. Like, his weighted on-base percentage to lefties, .223 to righties, a .182. Like, his ISO, .064 to lefties, .036 to righties. Like, he's so off the charts right now, it's hard to get after. But, hey, I mean, it's not a lot of runs. It really isn't.
No, that's the thing. And actually, what you said there is what I was looking for, because I know, and the way you do your team totals is you need everything to fit, and that's
pretty
why
much.
You're so successful.
Yes.
For me, I can't say it's not about Strider, but if you would have come on and been like Kev, the Mets lineup here today is in a bad spot, wind's blowing in, you know what I mean? That's like, okay, I'm in trouble, right? But wind's out, good lineup in their own building that's had success before. There's enough elements here for me to get involved and give them a chance in this spot.
Yeah, Reyes is on the mound today for the Mets, which I don't know too much about. Only 23 batters on the season. Does have some pretty good numbers, but we'll see how that holds up. But that is the first game in the afternoon. Now, as I said, that is a doubleheader. Game number two of the doubleheader is at 4:40 p.m. So both of these games will be done before any of the night slate kicks off. The second game there, obviously we're just talking about a 7.5 total at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Game number two's total is 9. So obviously that's the level of pitcher that you're anticipating on both sides in those games. We'll see how they play out. But the weekend was awesome this weekend. Game 7's all over the place. You got a Game 7 tonight in the NHL. You also have the draft wrapping up and how some of these things are going to, you know, play out moving forward. But we got a lot of topics to go over as it is, which include also a few NBA games on the slate tonight. A monster game out there in the Rockies. And then you got a big-time game starting up in the East, which I'm a Sixer guy, Kevin. I'm not even fired up about. It's a shame. It really is.
It is. It's actually, we haven't seen Brooklyn for so – Brooklyn, my goodness. We haven't seen Philly in so long, and so much has been going on in the NBA that there's really not been enough time to talk about the fact that the league MVP is out for game number one in round two of a matchup between the two teams that have the best records remaining in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's incredible. We got a lot more to go over today. Tons and tons of topics and your calls as well. If you want to get involved, easy. 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline on a Monday afternoon. New week, new money. Kevin and Donnie, yeah, we got you covered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect on a Monday. New week, new money. You know the way it goes here. It's Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM channel 159. Your phone calls? Yeah, I know you guys got a lot on your mind there. Big time weekend. Looking forward to some new series kicking off in the NBA. Hot draft takes from over the weekend. Major League Baseball on your mind? Sure. 844-843-6879. But I think we do have to look back until we say, you know what? There are big-time games tonight. We'll get to those. Kings-Warriors. I mean, my goodness. Didn't disappoint in that series. If you asked me before the NBA playoffs started, Donnie, what is one series that you want to get after out here? Which one? Which one do you want to watch all the way through? Kings-Warriors. And you saw me. If you see me on Twitter, at RightsideVP, K-Dub, I said, you know what? Yeah. Look what the NBA is doing for us here. Warriors Kings, middle of the afternoon, game 7. Enjoy it for everybody. All ages, Kevin, right? 5 years old up to 75 years old. If you're older or younger, you're probably not enjoying it, but you get the drift. And everybody got to partake and watch, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Come on now.
Two-year-old tape basketball.
I mean, get out of here. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, it was a really nice way to enjoy it. That series delivered in every way imaginable there. I do think. All right, you know what? Let me let you start because you jumped in on the Kings, and I know that was like 2 hours before the Fox News. Where do you sit on how it played out and how you view the new Western Conference favorites?
Nothing has changed, and again, I guess I'm thinking counterculture to what's actually taking place. The Warriors beat the Kings in 7. Doesn't change my opinion one bit on the Warriors. That wasn't a referendum. Like, ooh, you know what? The Warriors can win against the Kings. They can run it to the title. No, I don't believe that. Because I honestly believe if De'Aaron Fox never gets injured, that series is a wrap in the Kings' favor and the Warriors go down. So from my thought process to saying, who's the team that's to beat in the for the Warriors? It's not in the West, excuse me. It's not the Warriors. It's just not the Warriors.
Okay, so again, this is why I wanted you to start because I want to make sure that I'm not going crazy. And I think you and I get to maybe offer up a little different perspective in that we were both Sacramento believers.
Yeah.
I said I love this series to go long. The over 5.5 games, talked about it at nauseam. You bet Sacramento game 1, bet Sacramento game 2. We were both Kings believers.
Yes.
But how is it the crowd of people that thought the Warriors would absolutely dominate this team, right? They thought they were going to dominate Sacramento, dispose of them with relative ease, DRS. They didn't do that. And now they're saying, see, we told you the Golden State Warriors are the best team in the Western Conference and the team to beat. That doesn't make any sense. Do you know what I'm saying? They underperformed these people's expectation. And now they're using this performance to justify pushing the Golden State Warriors as the team to beat. They're the team to beat in the notion that they are the defending champions, but that's, come on, we're talking odds here. We're not talking Ric Flair style to be the man, you got to beat the man nonsense. The Golden State Warriors eliminated the, you know, surprise team of the season in Sacramento that, look, let's be honest here, most people thought was still the target matchup for the other teams in the West. Oh, the Kings would love to play him, the Clippers would love to play him, the Lakers would love to play him. So how that performance, or they had to go seven, is now transitioning to, look at how incredible Golden State is. I don't understand that notion one bit.
You know what the most shocking thing about this series was to me? The Warriors losing in game six. That was the most shocking to me. I thought that was printed, good night, see you later. And the Kings really showed me something. Now, granted, the Kings didn't play all that well in Game 7. And if you want to blame the coach and, you know, some defensive, you know, prowess that should have been used and maybe wasn't, all right, I get it. But at the same time, the Warriors needed 50 out of Curry in that game. Like, who else should, besides, you know, a guy getting, Kevon Looney getting every single rebound known to man, right. Steph was outrageous. And in the game where he really deflected and covered for Klay Thompson, they lose that game? Oh, Klay, come on, man. Like, what is the deal out here? You don't even think about that. Like, that's not even going to cross your mind at this point. Look, the Warriors are very good when they are hot and getting stronger, right? And they played well. Yeah, beat the Kings. They're a higher-seeded team. You're going to get credit for that. You won a game seven on the road. But now they've taken on the Lakers, and it almost seems like to me, like, no, they beat the Kings. They'll beat the Lakers, too. Like, the Lakers match up very well. The Lakers can play defense on the Warriors.
Yes.
Kevon Looney is not getting 21 rebounds every single game because he can push everybody around. That's not happening. It's not.
It isn't. And I don't want to say this and not give credit for Golden State for what they were able to do to Domantas Sabonis. But Domantas Sabonis was an absolute shell of himself in this series. Not, you know, he went out there and had an incredible first half and then went scoreless in half number two. They were treating him offensively like he was Ben Simmons with the amount of space that they were giving him. And statistically, he dropped across the board. All of his stat lines suffered in this series. And I'm not saying the Warriors don't deserve credit for that. But also, Domantas Sabonis isn't in the same universe of player that Anthony Davis is. So, and I know you're going to make this point. That's on both ends of the basket, Paul. That's on both ends of the ball. But offensively as well, Kevon Looney, if he is tasked with AD, has a significantly harder ask now on his plate. And I'm not even saying all of this to tell people that, oh, the Lakers should be favorites in the series. The Lakers should be big favorites in the series. Golden State has home court advantage, and that's obviously massive with how good they've been at home this year. But you've also just hit on, the Warriors have lost the game at home in this postseason. The Lakers haven't. The Warriors are a part of this group. They, the notion that they are, in anybody's mind, a cut above the LA Lakers is just beyond me where someone would get to that conclusion.
You know what's wild? Because, again, these games between the Warriors and the Lakers, most of them going to be late at night. This is the best series that is left in the playoffs, which includes the NBA Finals to me. How about that? Lakers and Warriors. Because I have a bet on Phoenix. I hope they get through this round. But I think if you're talking about juice, if they would have told you right now, Kevin, the NBA doesn't worry anymore about Eastern Conference, Western Conference. And they said, okay, it's the NBA Finals. It's going to be the Warriors and the Lakers. Bananas across the landscape, as long as it's not a 10:30 at night. Like, for me, interest in a series, I loved the Warriors-Kings. That's where my interest went. Let's take a look at the landscape right now. The Heat Knicks, it might as well not even be on TV for me, to be honest with you. It's as boring as all boring gets, that series. And I guess it's maybe due to the Miami Heat, the way they play. Yes, it's Jimmy Butler, nobody else, hard-nosed defense, dive on the court. No, don't need that. It's not the 1990s anymore for me. I take a look at the Sixers and the Celtics. I go, where's Joel Embiid? Where's the passion? Where's the heart? And the Sixers probably losing five because Embiid was at shoot-around and looked like he could barely even move tonight. Hopefully he's playing that up for the cameras, but maybe he's not. I take a look now at Phoenix and the Nuggets. I'm interested myself because I'm invested in that series. But let's just say whoever wins there, and it's Warriors, Suns. I'll enjoy that. I will. Warriors and Denver, I'll still enjoy it. But if I'm just looking for, give me supreme superstar, lights on, camera ready, let's go, it's the Warriors and the Lakers for me. This is going to be my favorite series for the rest of the playoffs.
So I'm gonna agree in the notion of Lakers-Warriors is a monstrous series. It's the two biggest stars in the sport, and LeBron James and Steph Curry. They're going head-to-head. The playing field feels even. I wildly disagree about the rest of the state of the NBA, but I mean, I guess, you know, that can be to each his own. I mean, the Garden has been phenomenal. Heat Knicks yesterday absolutely ruled. The idea that the Phoenix Suns added Kevin Durant, became the favorites, and they might actually not be all that good is captivating. Now, the Embiid thing is obviously unfortunate there, but Philly's, any storylines involving that Philly team and that rivalry between them and Boston, I think is going to also be fantastic. So I'm super into the playoffs across the board. So in that respect, I disagree. But Warriors Lakers is now obviously, you know, the big game in town.
It is going to be big time. It really is. You take a look at that series, the way it lines up. How about that? 5-point line tomorrow. Ooh, wall-to-wall coverage tomorrow. Lakers, Warriors, game one. Early line, money line. Tasty. We'll be right back to Moneyline in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
RBI props, do you love them? Do you get down? Do you bet them? Well, you should be. 3-0 Braves. The first inning. 3-run shot down the line as Strider is now, before throwing a single pitch today, Kevin, -950 on the money line. My goodness. My goodness.
Yeah. It's a lot, isn't it, huh? I guess here's what I'll say. If they're going to win, the Mets, my team total has to go over.
That's true.
So that's good.
Yeah. Yep. That's always the positive way to look at it. Like, well, I need like 3.5. Well, they got 3. Good. So at least I know I'm batting in the bottom of the 9th inning. But let's see what Strider has to do. The mustache out there, and he's letting it rip already. 1-2 count, 98 on the black right now. So he's got Nimmo down in the count. We'll see what happens in that game. We'll keep you updated again. Game one of a doubleheader. Game two has Morton and McGill on the mound. And a couple decent games overall tonight as Nimmo just went off the top of the wall. And he's hustling for 3, and he's going to get there, K-Dub.
Whoa! I mean, what are we thinking?
My goodness. I mean, that's the way to do it right there. So there you go. I mean, are we going to run today? Is that ball traveling? Is it traveling with that wind blowing out today?
So this is one of the things that, again, I find the way that you approach, you know, betting baseball, like, very interesting, and I think that's why you've had a lot of success. But you are someone where numbers are relevant. You basically have, and it's more than this, but let's simplify it, 3 boxes to check, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the lineup, the pitcher, the weather. Mm-hmm. And if the boxes check, the number doesn't matter, kind
Correct.
Of thing, right?
Yes.
And I don't want to suggest that, could you have, like, what would the success rate be if you were willing to attack with 2 out of the 3 checked? The purpose is for them all to be checked. But, again, when you were going through it, you're like, look, the weather's there. You know what I mean? Like, and I know how important that is because of you. I know how important that is. And then, again, that helps me get to the window on the Mets.
Yep. Give me a bad pitcher on the mound. Equal opportunity pitcher, as I like to say, which means you can't get lefties or righties out. Give me 6-plus batters in the lineup and give me a decent day. Like, the wind technically doesn't even have to be blowing out at 20 miles an hour. Right. Give me 78 degrees, 2 to 3 mile an hour winds, and you can really get after it. The problem is this week is usually, like when I was running my services, you would open up May 1st. Well, that's all fine and good, but if it's still 50 degrees out, you might as well be April 10th. Like, the numbers are there for some of these games, but you're not getting that perfect matchup. But again, today, there's a couple on there that make a little bit of sense, but there's still a little bit missing. Like, we call it the trifecta. Like, oh my goodness, bad pitcher, good batter, wind or heat, heating up the ballpark. That's what you wait for. And we're getting close to that because it looks like, though, this week, and I'm just talking to the Northeast, which is has a lot of ballparks and pretty indicative of what the weather is coming to. But not to like next Saturday here on the East Coast does it get back into like the 70s. So it's almost seems like a washout. But having because people have asked me, Kevin, this question a lot. Well, Donnie, you're going crazy. I mean, not like going crazy because I'm picking out like one round robin a day to get after for RBI. But that makes sense because you have one or two batters that really make sense in a game. And you're hoping the rest of the guys in the lineup do some things because they got to get on base unless you hit a solo home run. Those are matching up. But once you get those lineups, because there's actually a couple lineups today that are go lineups, but just doesn't have the weather and the pitcher to be the combination. Otherwise, it would be on and popping.
And again, now this I can understand completely. If every day you bet a go lineup, well, you'd be betting Rays team totals from now until the end of the season.
Yes.
It would just be a waste of time.
Yes.
Right. So that I totally understand. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, oh, hey, let's press, you know, if you were willing to press down when it were 2 out of 3, then I think what that would lead to is then you would be very number driven. Right. Be like, all right, listen, I got a great lineup today. Unbelievable weather. We're going against a really good pitcher, but the number's only 3.5. I like the over. But I that's not the way you obviously want to play it, and I get it. I think that still does make sense why you are operating that way because, again, the results are proven.
Yes, yeah, so let me just try to take a look today. Let's see. Let me just go over a couple pitchers here to take a look at my handy-dandy XFIP minus tool today. Let's see. Now, are these the guys on the mound for today? This seems like a different day. Again, hold on here. Let me just update some of these numbers. Because I got Sonny. Okay, Nestor Cortez. Why do I have 30 pitchers today, though, on the mound?
No, that's see. Not. Is the double hitter factor?
Yeah, I don't know why it's giving me that. So I got 30 here. But even like, no, Waldichuk was yesterday, wasn't he? Yes. So I don't know why. Give me 1 second here. Because I'm just on Fangraphs right now just to get a look. Because I was going to go through a couple things where I thought made some sense. Let me just change this up here, so we'll take a look there. Because I want to give because a little bit into the process behind it as well. It's like, ooh, what are you thinking about here? But it's, for some reason, I don't think this is doing it for me because I still got Shohei Ohtani on the mound for some odd reason for Fangraphs. Let's try one more time to go through because I don't think the Angels even. There we go. Okay, so we got it. So we'll go advanced, and we'll go as well. Usually go full season and at least 10 innings pitched as a minimum, which takes out some, you know, random shortstop that threw two-thirds of an inning about 3 weeks ago, and it factors in. But the XFIP minus number, and if people are saying, like, I hear you talk about XFIP a lot. Why is there a minus on it? Well, minus means league and ballpark driven. So, just to keep it simple there, you look at the Colorado Rockies pitcher and say, well, what do you expect him to do? The guy gets lit up at home, but he's still pitching well. This takes that into account. So it's just the underlying value of the pitcher himself. Take away he's playing the 1927 Yankees every day in Coors, right? Well, how do you even grade that guy? You don't. This sort of takes that out, if you will. And it's also graded on that scale of 0 to basically 200. Obviously, 200 being ridiculous. I don't even know if I've ever seen a 200. But 100 is average. So if your pitcher comes in an XFIP minus of 60, like Spencer Strider, that's tremendous. That's what he has. But Corey Kluber today at a 129, that means he's 29% above what he should be, and those are the guys that you would get after. So what you would do is take a look and say, okay, first thing I'm looking at today, you know what I do, Kevin? I go, who are the plus pitchers today? And I'm not talking about pluses being good. I'm talking about, like, over 100. It'll be Taijuan Walker, Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, Cal Quantrill, Tyler McGill, and Corey Kluber. So you know what I do out of that, Kevin, just to start? Those are the teams I start to analyze. Because even if I have, Kevin, right, just like you're bringing out the Mets, and we'll see what they do today, see how many they score. But Strider's got a 60. I don't care what that Mets lineup looks like. They're off the chart. Jose Barrios, 77, xFIP minus. I'm not even looking. Mackenzie Gore on the mound today. Not looking. Luke Weaver, 82. Not looking. Drew Smyly, 98. Right on that borderline. Stripling, 99. They're off the board. Even guys like Taiwan Walker, Kevin. A 101, which means 1% over average. Okay, let me try to line. Nope, off. I look for the bad pitchers on the card. Give me the bottom five. Quantrill, McGill, and Kluber. Like, that's where I would circle, and I would go to that game immediately just to try to start to check things out. And if I saw that, because chances, you're going to go and say, well, how does Cal Quantrill, Alpha's xFIP minus match up? Probably pretty poorly, right? And you're not expecting, whoa, wait a minute. His ERA is 1.6. Why is he at a xFIP minus of 124? That's not going to happen. That's where I start my day and then flip it over to the batting statistics.
Yeah, and again, it's a tried and true system. And it's about, you know, again, how, you know, it's all about what you like as a bettor. You know, for baseball, obviously, last year, if you were with us, you know, you remember we were getting involved with the strikeout props, DRS, yesterday, or a couple of days. It was like, have you even bet one of those this year? The answer is no, because I don't have the things that I had last year. So what would be the point? Like, that would just be, I can guess if you want me to guess, but I don't think anybody wants that. Why would I, you know, go about it that way? The NBA, I've started to find some things, and it's kind of a carryover of some of the stuff that I was able to do for the football season, kind of almost creating trends, if you will, when a guy does this happens, and all of these different things there. And it's been a lot of fun to be able to kind of, you know, react that way to big games. You know, the Michael Porter Jr. game today is a pretty good example where he's coming off of a game with super low volume. It's a rarity. And when that happens, he usually bounces back the next game in a big way, shooting the basketball. So I'm on a Michael Porter Jr. over today, you know, to kind of skip ahead for when we kind of, you know, we'll do that later more. But those are the things that, you know, I found that worked for me, and that stuff that I've been able to, you know, again, learn from being able to do all this with you is find what works for you and try and, you know, focus in on that.
Yes, and that's the way to do it. You got to get comfortable with the numbers you believe in, because some people are like, hey, man, look at xFIP minus, FIP minus, ERA minus. Like, I'm just an ERA guy and a high strikeout percentage. I get that. There's ways to look at it there. But I used to be the same way. Yeah. Like, I remember handicapping back, you know, 2011, 2012, and just using, like, road splits ERA base. Like, that's the way it was, because we didn't have all these analytical numbers so easy to go find and take a look at. So, and I am an old, I'm an old school handicapper, but I never stopped trying to learn or find different angles, which this year, it's the RBI prop. And how much plus money you can get. And they really make sense. If you say, hey, the pitcher's not that good, and I expect runs today, and you're taking a couple hammers in the middle of the lineup, it's really working out. Like, it doesn't sound hard, right? Like, okay, the Yankees should hit today. Great. There you go. Let's just take Aaron Judge to get an RBI plus 135. It's like, well, yeah, they scored seven times. Well, what did Judge have? Hit three RBI, right? That's usually the way it plays out. Now, granted, you would think that's the way it is every night. It's not. But if you're betting six of them and you hit three of them, it's like, well, Donnie went 3-3. Yeah, the average is like plus 175, plus 185, plus 235 in that respect. So it has been a lot of fun. And by the way, the Mets could have done some more damage here. They still have second and third with two outs. They just had second and third with one out and McNeil at the plate, and he popped up. So if a base hit gets there, you're looking at a tie game at that point, 3-3, and we talked about Strider, a minus 950 in this game. He's now minus 410. So we'll see if Vogelbach, big Vogel's in the pen here, see if he could do some damage. And away we go into the afternoon. Huge, huge NBA card tonight. Not volume-wise, but implications for your boy DRS. Could be a long night. Could be a sweet night. Come on back. Let's talk about it. It's Moneyline on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Monday, heat in the back between JP and K-Dub. Wow, that was amazing. You guys didn't get to hear that. But yeah, having said that, all right. Some people say the radio is better off the air than on the air. But seriously, no, nothing actually happened.
We've heard that
behind
before,
the scenes.
Actually.
Yes, we have heard that before and have heard it live. Tonight, exactly. Two games. Yeah. The Boston Celtics, 9.5-point favorites now. It's money pouring in on the Philadelphia 76ers today. They actually saw Joel Embiid as alive, so it moved at a half of a point. 214.5 is the total. Game time tonight, Kevin. Suns Nuggets, 229 now. So I believe we had, 227 this morning? We were talking about 227.5, I want to say. And now 229.
Yeah, all right. So that was the kind of move that we were at least that I was expecting.
Yeah.
So now, what's kind of funny is now it's almost a little frustrating in that I was like, I guess it's the line screaming under. And it's like, no, the line just didn't, nobody was up yet, I guess, to bet is what we really found out here. Is that kind of the story of it?
Pretty much. It will go, by the way, the NBA is on tonight. Okay, well, what's it got? Yeah, okay. We're looking at points here, at least in that Phoenix Suns game. But we'll start with the Sixers and the Celtics today. 9.5, down from double digits, 214.5. And if anybody was watching, you see the highlights throughout the day. NBA teams, obviously, on game days have shoot-arounds. Joel Embiid was out at shoot-around. Shorts and a hoodie and shooting jump shots, but not really doing much else there. He still is listed as doubtful. I don't think anybody's actually showing up tonight expecting Joel Embiid to play. But the question for the Sixers is that a good sign he's out there? Is that a bad sign he's not moving around? Because the second round is not designed like the first round, Kevin, where it's like, okay, let's play Monday, we'll play again Friday, and we'll play again the following Tuesday. That's not the way it is. It's a much more rapid series because you don't need as many games to hit television, therefore in a shorter time frame. I'm not all that high on the Sixers, but I've said this. This can't be a game where the Sixers just, and granted, I'm coming from an angle where they're pros. Like, Tyrese Maxey and the boys, you know, James Harden, they're not going out there going, what do you want us to do, man? We're going to get killed, and who cares? Let's just go and party after the game. It's the playoffs. That's not what happens here. But if the Sixers are to be competitive in this series, Kevin, they can't just be competitive tonight. Like, oh, man, 105-104. Boy, man, they were right on that. I truly believe, like, they have to win this game, and I think they understand it. Am I saying they are going to win the game? No, I'm not. But you just can't say, well, we just got to wait for Joel Embiid to come back and be healthy. When's that? Game 5? Where the 4-0 sweep? You didn't even make it there?
No, so I definitely, the Sixers can be like, look, let's not worry about these. You know, the big man's going to be back when he's back, and that'll be great. We look forward to it. No, that's not how this is going to go. But also, you know, the task is going to be difficult here. Can this group close is a big question. I think they could steal one of these games, though. I think it's plausible that they steal one of these two games in Boston. You know, again, you talk rest advantage. Not that Boston played yesterday or anything like that, but man, Philly has had a week to prepare. You know, and Malcolm Brogdon gave a very honest answer. He's like, "What am I gonna? You know, I can't say that Joel Embiid doesn't change anything." He's like, look, our preparation in terms of, you know, our effort level doesn't change. But obviously they're a different basketball team depending on whether that guy's in their lineup. So Boston's going to have adjustments now to try and play against this Philly team where Philly has known the deal for a while. Philly really should be competitive in this game tonight. Otherwise, it's what a bad omen that'll be.
Yes, by the way, just to hijack some Philadelphia stuff, a tweet just caught my attention and actually made me laugh. Now, if anybody doesn't know, and you probably shouldn't know for the most part, that Taylor Swift's on a stadium tour right now. And the reason why I know about this, Kevin, is not because I'm a Swiftie. It's because my wife and kid in 2 weeks are going to Lincoln Financial Field in 2 weeks. But this one was pretty good. This tweet was funny. It's a picture of Taylor Swift sitting there playing the guitar in an Eagles jersey, which obviously is not recent. It's from probably a couple years ago when, you know, she would make a stadium tour and, you know, you try to play up to the home crowd. But the back of it says Swift. So somebody tweets out, man, it's kind of wild that she was able to get her hands on a DeAndre Swift jersey that quick. Or did she know in advance from Howie Roseman? That's actually a pretty good tweet out there. So shout out to whoever saw that with a Swift Eagles jersey. Like, that's incredible. She got it so quick. You know what else is incredible? The Braves are now 5-1 on the Mets here in the top of the second inning as Kevin Pillar hits a home run. That ball's traveling. It really must be traveling right now. And it looks like the Mets already made a pitching change. So you're going to get second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth bullpen here out of the Mets. Now, why is that important, Kevin? There's two ways to look at this. Because, again, we're going to get back to the Sixers Celtics. But I love when this pops up and the questions that can be done. We have to remind ourselves, Kevin, it's a doubleheader today. So this is one of those where if you are a Mets bullpen, you know you're on deck. But how many guys are you burning through in game number one? Just a piecemeal 5-1 game right now with Strider on the opposite side. Is this one of those where you put in, like the Mets bullpen comes in, it's like, hey, I don't care if you give up 11 runs. I need you for 4 or 5 innings here, kid. Like, just stay out there.
It's very possible because it would be really poor. You have to be honest with yourself. You're down 4, and the favorite to win the NL Cy Young is on the other side of the mound. Hey, we got to get the next one. We got to get the next one because you can't lose both, you know. So now, if all of a sudden you knock Strider out of this game, this gets difficult, right? You can't punt on the game, but also, can I ask you this? Do they keep open game 2 lines during game 1 in terms of the doubleheader?
Yeah,
like is there for you? Mm-hmm. Just now, again, weather obviously changes as the day goes on, so this might be silly, but are you looking at the weather right now and thinking to yourself, wait a minute, do I need to get in on a game 2 over right now? This number's a bit light.
Actually, you know what, my mind, because that's where your mind's supposed to go, right? Just normal thought process. Now, hold on. They're going to be depleting the bullpen, game number 2. We might get a little bit crazy out there, and that might be the case. But you know where my mind goes right away, Kevin? It's top of the second inning. Nobody out. They have 5 runs on the board for the Atlanta Braves. Their team total here at FanDuel is 9.5. That's actually where I go, because most of 9.5, I'm not betting that, which just means you have, again, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth wind blowing out against pitchers that aren't there, Kevin, in the way a bullpen fashion usually is. All right, we have a 3-2 lead. Let me bring in a good guy in the sixth. Another good guy in the seventh. Good guy in the eighth. Closer in the ninth, right? You're looking at this going, we probably lost this game. I just need innings out of some of these guys. And it's not like you're going to say, I'm going to leave my best bullpen guy out there for 3.5 innings to get guys out when we're down 4 runs. So my mind goes to right now, the value probably would be on Atlanta. I'm just trying to check another sports book here or to see that 9.5 like come down to a 9, like instead of jumping in like right now. But that's where my eyes are. I think there's massive value now actually on the Braves team total as opposed to the game team total. Because you're right, Strider might go 6 or 7 innings and really handle his business, but he did throw a lot of pitches in inning number 1. You're probably looking at a game total itself, but more importantly for me, probably an Atlanta total from my side here.
My thing is with that, it doesn't sound like they're giving you a cheap number on the Braves, though, right? I mean, you need another 5 runs
where
they sit currently.
Yeah, by the way, Acuna just put one in the third deck, so they got 6 runs already. Like, the ball is flying. So, see, my theory right there is you bring in your relief guy, and that was an absolute Titanic shot right there. 448 feet, 114.5 miles an hour off the bat. Like, that ball got hit, and it was like, is it going to land? Third deck at Citi Field.
That is incredible.
I don't think I've ever saw a ball hit there, to be honest. Yeah, there you go.
Let me ask you, what is the Mets team total at the moment live?
Yeah, let me see. Let's go. So Mets team total is 3.5 minus 125. Which, again, it's not a bad option either, because here's what you're saying. If Strider is up, let's just say nobody scores in the fifth inning. 6-1, Strider has 100 pitches. He's not staying in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, hey, guys, let's get to the bullpen and just close this thing down. Not to say, again, you're going to be, oh, my goodness. Is that, no, so fly out about 400 feet to center field. So the ball is flying right now, which is interesting to watch. But I hear you on both sides. It sort of makes sense because Strider, in a game that you're blowing somebody out like this and have a high pitch total, you're not staying until the seventh inning. You get that around fifth, sixth inning, be done with it. Look, got a 5-run lead. I'm good.
Yep. For sure. That's why, now, I'm not going to come back. Well, that would be a horrendous move by me. I mean, I guess not. You can always double down if you feel up for it. But that's one of those things where, for me, I feel great about my team total. And if you're not involved, right, I just think if the ball is going to fly the way it's flying and you've already put attacks on Strider and shown a bit of an ability to get to him, you've got to be encouraged by all of the runs being in this game.
Yeah, the runs certainly not at a premium anymore, at least from the Atlanta side. Right. I would not be surprised if they go out and get a 10 spot on the board here with ease. Now, when's that price point to jump back in? But as we already laid it out, it's a 9-inning game. There's no mercy rule in Major League Baseball. So you might actually be getting yourself, now again, you're just trying to see how the game progresses, a position player that might pitch in this game for the Mets. What does that mean to you? Massive, right? Like, hey, 8. I need one more run. Oh, the backup shortstop's coming in to pitch the 9th. Like, oh, this is just awesome. Like, that's what you might run into. Total in this game's 13.5 at FanDuel for both sides. But again, just looking from the Atlanta perspective, if they're just going to have this guy, Curtis, come out here and throw bullpen action, it is going to be a long afternoon.
Let me do teams do that though? So I think your logic is 100% spot on, but we also know, you know, sports are full of, you know, pride and at the time maybe stubbornness there. Will they throw a position player in the first game of a doubleheader?
I believe so, yes. Because you're saying to yourself, if you've lost the game, which again, well, there's a long way to go in this one, but let's just say it gets out of hand. 12-4 in the ninth inning. They're not using a reliever they need for that game too, right? Because those chances are you've probably already been through five pitchers in the game. So you're going to burn like six pitchers in game one with game two on deck. And we're also talking about game two is you're not having, you know, hey, Jacob DeGrom of 3 years ago. It's like, hey, man, I got you. Hey, Skip, you need nine out of me today? I'm throwing flames out here. Let me rip. And they go, okay, got you. Yeah. That's not what you have here. So, yeah, it matches up well. It's fun to talk about those type of scenarios because, quite frankly, they don't happen all too often. And when you're seeing it live, it's fun to, you know, talk your way through it at that point.
Now, where is Max Scherzer? Did I miss a Max Scherzer?
Wednesday,
start?
Thursday.
Wasn't he supposed to be?
Wednesday, Thursday. Scherzer and Verlander. Yep. That's what they said
today. Verlander debut.
Yeah.
That's the Verlander debut, right?
Back to back. Wednesday, Thursday here. So it looks like it's getting close for the Mets. A lot of teams getting healthy while the New York Yankees just, you know, circling around, having some fun. Sign a Judge. Remember that? Hey, look, we signed Judge. That's all we can do this offseason. Well, don't you want to make your team better? We signed Judge. We told you. That's what we're doing.
We got Carlos Rodon. Oh, interesting. Where does he bat in the lineup? And he also hasn't played yet either, by the way, which is hilarious in its own right. But I just, the Yankees lineup being what it is, it's like, all right, well, we'll see what they do at the deadline. You know, look, I can't say it's going to be too late, right? The Yankees are an above 500 team, and they're playing in this, you know, obviously super, super difficult division, really the best in baseball. So their situation comes off maybe more dire than it is. But it's just, you and I talked, like, this isn't surprising that we're like, ooh, this lineup is tough. And that was with Judge, right? Judge, you know, was not having the hottest overall start to this season after, you know, a great first, you know, week and a half or so. And now all of a sudden, Judge is gone, and you look at this lineup and you're like, oh my God.
Blessing in disguise, though, could be. Could it be? Could it be? Where the Yankees, because they listen.
Recognize?
They recognize. Hey, look at this. We're really struggling. Our fans are bailing. I pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to sit in the third row behind home plate, and you're going to tell me this is what you're going to do? Which means you might get an extra very good player or two, and then all of a sudden everybody comes back healthy, and you go, whoa, look at the first seven in that order there for the Yanks, man. Time to get busy. So maybe a blessing in disguise, and also, they're still above 500. Just not playing that way at this point here. We've got a long way to go. We're going to hit that 76ers-Celtics game from a props perspective, and also, next segment, where's JP going tonight? Got a big board. Let's see what he does. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Changes on the horizon. Well, hopefully it changes tonight with the doubtful tag for Joel Embiid, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Now,
imagine it did.
Exactly, like he got to upgrade. I'm telling you right now, because Joel Embiid has done this in the past, and we're going to get to JP in a second, where he had the torn whatever it was, meniscus, whatever was in his knee, and it's like, oh, Joel Embiid's going to be done. I'm like, hold on, man. He is moving really well in pregame. I think it was the Washington Wizards series a couple years ago. And it was like, well, I don't even understand how he's playing. He was supposed to probably be out for the playoffs, and it looks like nothing is even wrong, and he never even ended up getting surgery. I'm hanging my hopes on that as a Sixer fan right now. Like, he's just playing it up when I don't actually think he is. Now, having said that, JP, playing it up, playing it down, there's two games on the NBA tonight. You got a full, not really a full slate, but a decent night slate in Major League Baseball. Hockey game 7 with your Rangers. Where are we going tonight?
I'm going to go back to the NBA. I'm going to go to that Sixers-Celtics game, and I'm going to take a player points prop.
Oh, points. Okay. All right. Let's settle into this now. Top end guys, Jason Tatum, 29.5. Jaylen Brown, 25.5. Philadelphia 76ers top guys, Maxey 23.5, James Harden 22.5. Now, if there's a guy that most people don't pay attention to coming off the coming off the bench, maybe can have an option. PJ. Now, does PJ Tucker, K-Dub, have to step up tonight? Is that 2-3 balls from the corner? at a 4.5 plus 100. I got to actually get Jay Wise information on that one.
What are they hanging good old Peach to make a 3 at in this game? Have they moved that yet? I know there's a lot of people that love betting PJ to
well,
make 1.5.
What, 1.5
climbing the ladder to make 2. It's probably like a juiced half a 3.
Over a half at minus 184. Like, I would...
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see what his numbers are.
And then, yeah, check the 2 makes there. If you're willing to climb that ladder.
Yeah, if he's even... PJ Tucker to make 2 plus 340. Like, that's his 4.5, right? Wouldn't you rather take that? Yeah.
Well,
he's making a 3 and then getting to the free throw line and making 2 free throws? Come on.
Right.
Stop. Stop. Big hour number 2 coming up. PJ Tucker plus 340. Goodness, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.